Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we will be bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. It's presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch off. It's been a lucky match. We will be at Coco's on Wednesday. Senator Cory McCrae will be there, as well as Jamie Costello. Rasig is going to stop by and try to fix the Orioles pitching. It all begins at 1 o'clock, and Crab Melts, the infamous Burke's late great Crab Melt, will be back on the menu on Wednesday night. Stop by, watch the Orioles take on the Yankees. Luke Jones was at Oriole Park at Camden Yards on Monday night. Orioles, good start, almost an unhappy finish, but Sugano pitches, O'Hearn hits. Luke, I'm not gonna bitch about a victory. A win's a win's a win.
Yeah, there's not. I mean, okay, the bullpen is what it is, and we were wondering about the bullpen, and I didn't necessarily love the way Brandon Hyde managed the bullpen, but you just said it. It's a win, and they got a good start. Sugano was really good when you consider, especially when you consider going up against that lineup. He missed bats, struck people out. I mean, the one thing you'd say about Sugano to this point is he doesn't do that, which is why I think, you do struggle to have a ton of confidence that he'll continue to be this successful, but he struck people out and the split was good. I think his pitches were sharper than we've even seen them be, which, his command's been good. That was the reputation for him pitching in Japan all those years. So you saw a version of him that kind of perplexed the Yankees lineup, which is not easy to do. So
Can I say
that.
something about him for a minute? Because, like, that guy's won three Cy Youngs in Japan. And I know maybe if people listened, you have an image of Japan. Maybe you've seen something on HDTV, or I dragged you into a ramen joint that had Japanese stuff, or maybe you watched the Legend of Bobby Valentine 15 years ago to understand baseball in Japan. But I've been to Japan a couple of times. If you followed Adam Jones in his journey over and all of the Kobe steak that he's wolfing down, the Japanese thing and honor and culture and all that, even if the only thing you know about Japan is having watched Mr. Baseball and you got to have Wah, or you liked Ichiro like I did. Everybody likes Ichiro. But I mean, I've experienced it. I've spent time over there. I've never gone to a baseball game. It's on my bucket list. I missed a game six of a World Series over there by a day when I went with Cal Ripken. So I missed going to like the game seven of the World Series over there with Bobby Valentine by a day because they lost game six. So I'm into Japanese baseball like that. I've also Korean baseball when they were playing at 5 in the morning during the plague. I had been to those stadiums. I've seen U2 play over there. So like Asian baseball and where it is and whether it's double A, triple A, even going back to Sadahara O. And now that I've said it out loud, that picture of him and Hank Aaron's family will show up from the Tokyo Dome on my timeline because that's the way Facebook works. Like, I saw that guy get on the hill and he's waited his whole life to pitch against the New York Yankees, right? So, I kind of got it the other way that here's a 35-year-old decorated guy. He knows everybody at home's watching. I thought he pitched the game of his life because he's waited his whole life to pitch against the New York Yankees. So I just wanted to say that out loud because I thought that I don't tweet as much because of the fascist that owns Twitter at this point. But like all of my thoughts during the game, that was the thought I had was, man, this is a big deal for him. This isn't just a big league start. It's not just the season in 10 and 17. I felt like it was a little bit more for him. I really did.
I mean, it could have been. It was funny. He was asked about his success against Aaron Judge, or going up against Aaron Judge, I should say. I mean, Judge had two hits off of him, but he joked that he did face him in spring training, and he walked him, and he got booed for it. So he kind of said, "Oh, I don't want to walk him,"
Well,
and all that. But
he got in trouble and got himself out.
yeah, I mean, he was really good, and. Was he a little more jazzed up than normal? Sure, I'll buy that. I still think it's notable that he had nine strikeouts over his first five starts combined, and he had eight against the Yankees. And I don't think it's just because he was pitching against the Yankees. I think his stuff is, he's got six different pitches. I do think his stuff was a little crisper than it normally is. And that stuff really allowed his split to play even more than it normally does, where he did get a little more swing and miss. I'll continue to say this, and I say this with no disrespect to anything that you just mentioned. I mean, clearly this guy knows how to pitch, even if it is Japan. And you say, okay, it's not the equivalent of Major League Baseball in terms of talent level across the board, which isn't out of bounds of saying. But that doesn't mean it's not very legitimate high-level professional baseball. But at the same time, if you're not missing bats at all in the major leagues, it is difficult to sustain that long term. I do think it'll be difficult to sustain that long term. That's why I'm encouraged to see him have a start like that, where he can strike out eight people and he can miss more bats and he can have a profile of not just six pitches, but six pitches that can get some whiffs. I mean, there were 12. He ended up having, I think it was nine whiffs on 12, 12 swings of his splitter. That's swing and miss 75% of the time when someone's taking a pass at a pitch, trying to swing. So it was impressive.
It was
But like,
filthy. By the
yeah,
fourth, fifth inning, it was
sweeper
filthy. It
was
really
good.
was.
Yeah,
Yeah. I
no
mean, but he
question.
had a 30-pitch first inning
He
and
did.
he scuffled and and was sort of like, this dude, you and I crushed them for 54 minutes on Monday morning, right? Like everything's gone wrong. And I said to my wife, I mean, we're making dinner and because it's 6:45. It's dinner time. And I said, man, double down the line, and this is just a bad thing, And but he battled and I like him, but I do think there's an honor thing about a three-time Cy Young Award winner over there coming over to measure himself here at the when his stuff isn't the best. He's 35. He had to have been a better pitcher 5 years ago, I guess. I mean, I guess, right? I mean, that's the way it usually works. And the fact that he's been the healthy guy, and it's O'Neill's on the DL, Rodriguez, everybody, he's pitching. Suarez, my Venezuelan brother, he's pitching and he's pitching well and he's figuring it out. And he's figured it out because he's pitched 2,000 innings, somewhere else and had to figure it out over there. I don't know. I sort of like it. It's much more interesting than watching Charlie Morton.
Oh, no question about it. And again, when I'm talking about the lack of strikeouts and the lack of missing bats, I'm just going off of the statistical practicality of it. I mean, it's you're lending yourself to needing way more batted ball luck, right? That they're not blooping balls into the
Well, it
outfield and all
helps a
that.
lot
But
when you've got a splitter falling 15 inches in the
sure.
last 10 feet.
And the sweeper was really good too. I think, the split was good. We've seen the split mostly be his best pitch. He throws all of his pitches. He has six different pitches, so he mixes really well, even if it doesn't result in a ton of swing and miss. But I think the sweeper played well. I think all of his pitches just played off of each other very well. But I'll add something to what you just mentioned about pitching in Japan, honor, say, everything about that, and also with facing the Yankees. He also made mention, and this really resonated with me, even if he's speaking through an interpreter. But he made mention that this is the first time he's pitched in the opener of a series for the Orioles. And he made mention of how important it is to win the first game of a series when you're trying to compartmentalize, whether you're 10 and 17 or 17 and 10. What do we always say? Win two out of three, win a series, win a series, win a series. And then you look up at the standings and you're doing pretty darn well. I mean, that was the formula for them a couple years ago, right? With never being swept and all of that. But for him to mention that, and I don't think he was like he mentioned, he went out of his way to mention that. He wasn't asked about pitching the opener of a three game set. That right there says something again and does speak to, okay, he's technically a rookie in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
He's
but
never
he's a
pitched in the
grown up,
majors. But yeah, he's
Yeah.
pitched at a high level. Again, whether Japanese baseball, is it triple A? That's generally been the, I've even seen some people opine that it might be a little bit, a touch higher than triple A. But the point is, it's not nothing either. It's not low single A ball or anything like that. It's still very high level professional baseball. And for him to do it as long as he did over there, which was, I think, I think 12 seasons with a career ERA of 2.43 and a career walk rate, which is really what drew the Orioles to him, a 1.7 walks per nine innings career rate in Japan. And guess what it is in Major League Baseball? As much as we can talk about the strikeouts, even after Monday night, he's walking 1.6 per nine innings in the major league. So that tells you he throws strikes. And Ryan O'Hearn said it, you know, because he was asked for his perspective on what Sagano's been able to do as well, that it just feels like he really works the corners and the edges of the strike zone impeccably well. It's one thing to throw strikes, right? And this is the difference between command and control. A poor control pitcher is walking a bunch of people. A poor command pitcher, yeah, there's walks mixed in, but they also throw a lot of poor strikes. And what I mean by that is they're catching the heart of the plate. And you see where the catcher lines up on the edge, the corner, up and in, wherever it might be, and the ball ends up catching way too much of the plate. That might be a strike in terms of, hey, you're not walking people, but you're going to get
Might be a
clobbered.
three-run home run. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he's very fine in that way. And look, he didn't strike out a ton of people in Japan. I mean, even last year, 2024, when he had a 1.67 ERA in, I think it was 156 plus innings there. He averaged 6.4 strikeouts per nine, which is well, that's below average for Major League Baseball standards. But if he can miss bats when he needs to, if he can reach back for it and get some strikeouts when he needs to, and he's not going to do it. He's not going to have eight every time out. That was his season high and might end up being his season high for the entire season or career high.
When you strike
But
people out, you throw more pitches too.
you
And
do.
I
Well, and
think the games play differently in Japan in regard to put the ball in play, maybe be more of a 7 or 8 inning pitcher. And here it's, hey, dude,
yeah.
don't let Aaron Judge on and don't let him have contact, because if he has contact, he'll crush you. So pitching away from contact is something that maybe he's adjusting to a little bit more. I don't know. I'm giving him more rope for all the reasons you're giving me. He has command. He throws the ball well. He's a thinker. He's a grown-up. He has pride. He has fight. And something that you rolled over them pretty good. I'm surprised they let you in Monday, let you in the press box, gave you hot dogs. I mean, you rolled over them pretty good about, like, where's your fight? I think he went out and he got in trouble in the first inning and he fought and they won barely. And then you can get to the bullpen and you can beat up the hitters again. And, O'Hearn hit a home run and they didn't piss a drop after, so we can go through all of that. But they won. So let's
Yeah.
give them that, because the other piece is going to play on Tuesday too. We're 54 minutes of you and I talking about fundamental problems that they have that they still have, even though they won 4-3 on Monday night.
Yeah. Let me be clear. I'm not being negative about Sagano. I'm giving you statistical information. I'm giving you what we
You're
know about
telling me
Major League
why he's of
Baseball.
number four and not a number one or a two, and I'll hear that.
Not in terms of what we saw on Monday night, in terms of a general profile, in terms of what it takes to be successful in Major League Baseball in 2025. Let me be clear. I'm not saying he needs to strike out eight in five innings every time he goes out there. To your point, you'd gladly take him going seven innings the way that we've also seen him be able to do that. My point is when you kind of look at what his statistical profile had been through five starts. I think he was in the first or second percentile for strikeout rate and whiff rate. It is very difficult to succeed long term and consistently if you can't miss a few more bats when you need to.
And I
And
think they're
that's what
telling
I'm
him that.
saying.
And I think he
Yeah.
might be pitching that way.
Well, and we'll see. And again, look.
And that may make him a 5-inning, 100-pitch pitcher that
And he
pitches
might
in and
need to.
out of trouble. And sometimes he'll make a mistake. But, dude, the New York Yankees juiced the
Yeah.
bags up, and he had to pitch himself out of trouble, and he figured it out.
Right.
He
Well,
got a soft ground ball when he needed one.
and but that's also but he got strikeouts also. I mean, look at the third inning where there were two on with one out, and he struck out Goldschmidt and Chisholm. So, I'm not pointing this out to say that I don't like Sagano. It's just, it's what it was through the first five starts, and the fact that he nearly doubled his strikeout total for the year, to me, you take some optimism in that hey, that's in there. I'll also throw out. The Yankees, as much as they score runs, they are prone to striking out. So there's that as well. But he's, man, for all their problems, for as big of duds as not just Charlie Morton, but now Gary Sanchez is on the IL and Tyler O'Neill's, even though Tyler O'Neill being on the IL, everyone should have expected at least a couple stints, regardless of how he was going to perform, because that's just who he's been. But you look at the players they've signed and acquired in the offseason. I mean, the other guys haven't just been bad, they've been disasters. I mean, we've talked about Morton. Gary Sanchez hasn't hit at all. They're paying Gary Sanchez $8.5 million to be a backup catcher who hasn't hit at all. So, and now granted, maybe the wrist has been a reason why, and he's on the IL, and we'll see if
How
he
about
gets right.
Westberg out now
But
too, right?
well, we'll get to him. But I was just talking specifically about the guys that they added in the offseason. Sagano's been a home run compared to those guys.
Sure.
So it's been great to see. It wasn't an ace in the sense of comparing him to Corbin Burns or that he went 7 innings. But when you looked at how miserable, and this goes back to what you were just saying, how hard I was on them after the Detroit series, because as much as I didn't watch every pitch because I was busy with draft coverage, but every time I looked up, it was miserable, absolutely miserable. And I almost said this kid because technically he's a rookie, but he's not. He's 35. He's a grown up. Albeit pitching in a brand new environment, he went out and gave them a very mature outing on Monday night that they absolutely needed. And you know what? You probably do need to miss a few more bats if you're going up against the Yankees. So it was good to see him just be able to do that, right? Just to know that that's there, in addition to what he had done in his two previous starts, which was going 7 innings, even though he didn't strike out people then. Not saying strikeouts are everything. I'm saying you want to have that as part of your repertoire when you need it. Right. There's a point to that. Jim Palmer would even say, he didn't strike out. That wasn't an era where you're striking out a batter per inning. But when he needed to reach back and give a little extra with that high fastball, that Palmer, part of his repertoire that made him a Hall of Fame pitcher, he was able to do that. So that's the point I'm making about the strikeouts. Not that he needs to, suddenly be averaging a strikeout per inning, because no, he's not going to be that guy. But again, when you're going up against the Yankees, you're going to need that a little bit because, in case we haven't noticed, pretty good lineup you're facing there. So for him to shut them out, even over five, and yeah, the pitch count got up there a little bit. Still really, really impressive.
I'll shut the door on this by just saying that I'm smiling and laughing a little bit if you're watching on the webcam, because I'm thinking like if you had to pitch him in the playoffs, you'd be okay. And I'm thinking to myself, they're so far from the playoffs, and I'm thinking we've done this for 35 years here. We haven't talked about playoff starts and playoff pitchers and all that. And when the team's 11-17, you worry about every single facet of this, and you and I did soup the nuts on Monday. Just to recap Monday's game in a general sense, the bullpen, how it's managed, the fact that they didn't hit the ball again after the second inning or third inning. There's a real problem here
Sure.
that one win and look, stack them up. They got the Yankees the next couple of days. If they could beat the Yankees again a game or two here and pick up something that feels like momentum, but I want something that feels like an offense and feels like something that's clicking against right-handers and left-handers. And to your point, it's about to be May. Guys hitting 208, guys hitting below Mendoza. It's unacceptable.
No question. And now, that's where we get into Jordan Westberg's on the IL. He had finally, over the last week to 10 days, started to swing the bat better after, let's face it, other than the opening Toronto series, hadn't really done much of anything. So that hurts. Gary Sanchez is on the IL, but he's done nothing offensively. So that's, kind of irrelevant to what we've seen, not irrelevant to expectations, of course. But yeah. I mean, this is why I've been much harder on the offense because part of my whole point, Sagano being the exception, has been we kind of feared not that Charlie Morton would have a 10.5 ERA because I think even if you thought he might be washed, I thought that would look like a 6 ERA, right? I thought that'd look like 6.5, maybe 7. Not this, oh my gosh, it's so incredibly horrible that how are you going to
Washed up is
continue?
not pretty,
Well,
in any sport,
but
in
it's also
any
not
game over
binary all
my
the time.
lifetime, Yeah, but when it falls off the shelf, it does. It
It
just
can,
does.
but it's not always
Hats off
like
to all
that.
these guys that walk away before it gets like this.
I
Is
know,
it, this is
but
not a
it.
fun way to walk away, even if you're getting 50. Maybe it is fun if you're getting
But
15
there were
million,
no
but.
projection systems that were predicting him to have a 10 ERA. And as I pointed out to you the last time we talked about Charlie Morton, go look at his September with the Braves. I'm not saying it was great, but it was better than it was in June, in July and August. So, you know, and I don't want to waste too much time talking about Charlie Morton because, I mean, you know, Kyle Gibson's going to make his debut tonight. We'll see how he looks, you know, after a few starts down at AAA Norfolk. But point is, with all of this, if a month ago when we were watching the Orioles in Toronto and you had told me they were 11 and 17, I'd say, okay, well, the rotation's really bad. But if you had told me that the offense would be what it is, I'd say that's completely unacceptable. You know, Charlie Morton's 41, right? The Orioles kind of get what they deserve, right? Running the risk that he could be washed up. You know, Dean Kramer has historically been a slow starter. This is a little more extreme. Cade Povich is what he is, right? I mean, and then Eflin's hurt. Grayson Rodriguez is hurt.
Suarez hurt.
The
Keep
right. I mean,
going.
the rotate,
Kittredge hurt.
you know, Chase McDermott, Trevor Rogers, guys that were
Perez, no
depth.
good.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to stick to the
Well,
rotation though.
yeah, I got
But
you. I'm just giving you innings.
you look at this offense, and again, this is why I said, as I get it, the starting rotation is awful, but you can't, as an entire collective unit, as a collective club, just allow that black hole to just suck everything else up too, and you just say, well, woe is me, whatever, right? We're not going to win anyway. Meanwhile, they've lost plenty of games where the pitching actually wasn't that bad of a disaster where they had a chance to win. I mean, on Monday night with O'Hearn's three-run homer, it's the first time they've scored more than 3 runs since the Saturday of the Cincinnati series. They went over a week before scoring more than 3 runs in a game. I mean, you're not doing anything with an offense like that. So it's challenging because you were already missing Kowser and now Westberg's out with the hamstring. You know, it doesn't sound like they think it's going to be an extended, prolonged absence, but it's a hamstring. You never know, right? I mean, you want to make sure that he doesn't, you know, pop it again when he's running for the first time here when he tries to jog or run in the coming days.
Well, nothing
So,
derails a young career like an injury. Rutschman last summer being a great example of that, right?
well, and even Westberg, I mean, look at it. He had an all-star season last year, and the second half was ruined by a fastball in the hand. You know, I feel for him because I think we saw the first half of last year what kind of player he can be, and because of injuries, he just hasn't been able to be that guy since then. Mainly, you know, not being able to be on the field. And even this month, I mean, before the hamstring, he was dealing with stuff going back to spring training. They remember they gave him the day off the finale in Toronto after he hit two home runs in that Saturday game. Speaks to how banged up he's been. So maybe this can be a blessing in disguise that you shut him down for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, get him back, and maybe you get the Jordan Westberg that you saw in the first half of last season. Because yeah, O'Hearn aside, well, you know, his 3-run homer aside, which by the way, as much as we've been giving love to Cedric Mullins, go look at Ryan O'Hearn's numbers. He's having a good year. You know, we could talk about Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday and Heston Kjerstad and Ryan Mountcastle, who's been woeful at the plate, you know, without not hitting for any power whatsoever. Ryan O'Hearn continues to be a great story. Now, 3 year going on 3 seasons now for the Orioles. So
But he was a
as
pedigree guy, right? He
he
was a first
was,
round
but
pick.
he never figured it out in Kansas City. I mean, and it's not as though they gave up on him after a year. I mean, this is a guy that's, yeah, you know, he's not a young man. You know,
Well, and
he's
this
a
would be
vet.
where they are with every name you gave me. Kowser, Henderson aside, because I mean, we all think he's special, but Holliday, Kowser, Westberg, Rutschman, all these guys that have had a turn on and a turn off. And I know I talked about Wieters the other day and what Markakis wound up being and what name any Adam Loewen, name any
Yeah.
first round pick, he wound up being an outfielder. I would just say it's hard to do. And for that
Sure.
whole generation of Jeffrey Hammonds and Mark Smith and all those first round draft picks that never made it or barely made it or hung around for a minute or two or whatever. This whole thing of old guys like me and you and everyone else that's watched baseball, if your dad was alive, my dad was alive, they'd be listening to Lock and Four down on the Fan, him yelling about six number one picks and how awful you'd have to be and how they're all not going to the Hall of Fame and they're all not going to be Mickey Mantle. And a couple of them are going to be BJ Surhoff. A couple of them are going to be Matt Wieters. A couple of them are going to flame out. Maybe one of them goes to the Hall of Fame if you get lucky, right? That's where they are. And all of this is to say Ryan O'Hearn's that guy that has panned out for them. And this notion that all of these guys here are going to pan out here, the jury's out. And I think we all want to believe in the better angels of Colton Cowser's going to be an all-star and Westberg's going to be an all-star and Holliday's going to be a Hall of Famer and Henderson's going to be a Hall of Famer. Rutschman's got to be a Hall of Famer because he's a 1-1, right? Well, here we are. Here we are. And then they got to stay healthy as much as anything and get on the
Yeah.
field.
Well, it's funny because you just mentioned Jeffrey Hammonds. I mean, I think about him and he's a really talented player. He can never stay healthy. I mean, that was kind of the story of his career. I mean, he ended up having a fairly long career relative to how much injuries decimated, you know,
I
it.
saw him in an all-star game later in his life. He was like a Rocky or a
Yeah, it was like,
Brewer. He was somewhere else, but
it was like
he made the all-star
2010.
game.
I'm trying to think what year that was.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
mean, I ran into him because I knew Jeff well. He's a good man, Jersey guy, really good fellow, and five tool guy. I mean, totally.
It was the year 2000. So it was a couple years after the Orioles had dealt him to what? Cincinnati, I guess. What, they traded him for Willie Green, wasn't it? Wasn't that the
I
deal?
have no
Yeah.
idea. It
I mean,
wasn't
at that
Eric
point,
Davis.
yeah, at
And
that
he
point,
didn't
every
turn into Eric Davis, so you
but
know.
there's a perfect example, and you're right. I mean, health is a big part of this. I mean, you mentioned Jordan Westberg. Jordan Westberg has been an all-star, and then since then he's had the broken hand, and he's been was banged up in spring training, and is banged up now and on the IL. And that's, you know, it's not to say that that's going to be who he is for the rest of his career, but yeah, health is a big part of it. And this is where we go kind of come back full circle talking about this team in general. Look. Even me, I am down on them. I'm down on them across the board right now. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying that all these picks are busts, or that Mike Elias is an idiot, or that Brandon Hyde doesn't know what he's doing. But my point is, they're all accountable for whatever this is right now, which has been terrible baseball to start the year. But
O'Hearn and
we,
Mullins and Sagano and maybe Baker, right? Like literally, those are the guys.
Felix Bautista's, yeah, hey, Bautista had a, you know, look at his ninth inning. I mean, that
Right.
was in a one-run game. That was encouraging to see. But overall, yeah, there are
That's it.
far fewer guys that you would say are fine or doing their job than the ones who you know, who aren't right now. But we also can't lose the plot. And as much as, yes, I will continue to take their offense to task because that's supposed to be their strength, you still look at this pragmatically, realistically, and say, look at their injured list right now. And look at their starting pitching. And more specifically than the starting pitching, look at Charlie Morton specifically. Charlie, they've lost every time he's pitched. If you replace him with just someone that was average, and you won half of those. So let's say instead of being 0-6, you were 3-3. What would their record be right now?
500.
13-14. Now, I'm not saying that's anything to throw a parade over, but I think we also would have acknowledged a month ago that if Eflin went on the IL after three starts and you still didn't have
Oh,
Grayson
you don't have to
Rodriguez.
make a case that this
No,
could have been a 700 team, right? I
no,
mean,
no, no, no. It's not that. My point is Charlie Morton specifically, and here I am. I said 5 minutes ago, I don't want to make this all about Charlie Morton, but when you just look at a very specific case, and that's what you can kind of do when you're talking about still a small sample size of games, you know, 28 games into the season. But if you take him away and replace him with just the league average starter, this team's closer to 500 just with that, even with all their other problems. So when you look at it through that lens, it is still early. There is a path for them to get back in it. I'm not saying that it's even the most likely path right now, because it's not based on the fact that other than Gibson, and I will mention Zach Eflin's going to throw a bullpen. You know, Tuesday, you know, today, so that's good to see. So that tells you he's getting closer, not imminent, but closer. But you know, they're going to have these warts. I mean, they just are. I said to you like 3 weeks ago when Eflin went on the IL. To me, at that point, it's like The best you can realistically ask for right now is probably for them to tread water and to kind of just hover around 500. And they haven't been able to do that. Let's be clear. If they can at least do that and take two out of three from the Yankees, take two out of three this weekend, get yourself to a point where you're not seven under 500, get back to three or four games under 500 over the next week. And then, you kind of piece it together that way, one game at a time, to borrow the cliche. Yeah, that's how you stay in this race. And then you start getting some pitchers back, you hope. You really hope you don't have any more injuries because, again, next man up's a t-shirt after a while. It just doesn't apply after a while because not everyone is going to have that kind of depth. I mean, you're just not. But that's how they have to approach it. You can't fix 10 and 17 or 11 and 17 in one night. And I think part of the problem for this team, and it might speak to the leadership and the lack of adults, grown-ups in the room, guys who've been through it, is I think you have guys going up to the plate and going out there trying to do that, and you can't do it that way. It's the old Mike Flanagan. I think it was Mike Flanagan who said it, right? Try easier. Or maybe Ray Miller told him that at some point in time. Try easier. But because you're not going to make this, you're not going to fix all this in one at bat or one inning. So you can't have that approach that you're going to go out there and try to do too much.
Well, a game of inches, and you were Yogi Berraing me on Monday. The O'Hearn one hit, right? One hit,
Needed it.
needed it. 3-run home run that won the game for them in the end. Luke Jones will be back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards on Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and probably not Saturday, but probably on Sunday. All week long, the Royals will be in this weekend. The Yankees are in this week. We will be at Coco's Pub on Wednesday afternoon doing what we call the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I will have the Back to the Future $10,000 chance. Man, one day I want to give one of these away and have somebody win like a jackpot. I've seen people win $100 and they do want to hug me when that happens. They also want me to cash it out and I'm not responsible for that. I just give them out. I can also provide my MD Lottery app where you should be scanning and second chancing all of these things. So I tell people about that. But I'm going to second chance a crab cake and a crab melt. They tell me they're going to change burger night to crab melt night on Wednesday night. So one of my favorite things in life was the Burke's crab melt and the Coco's crab meat with the extra sharp cheddar cheese on the Bay's English muffin. I think it's going to be a very, very good night on Wednesday night, no matter who pitches or how they pitch for the Orioles. Luke's at the ballpark. He's Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.